Right, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this meeting of Midlothian Council, which will be broadcast live to the internet. I would like to remind everyone present that this meeting will be broadcast live to the internet, will be stored as part of the Council's webcast archive, and will be capable of repeated viewing. I have the discretion to terminate or suspend filming if, in my opinion, allowing filming to continue would prejudice the proceedings of the meeting. Equally so, items that are heard in private or items whereby the publication of the webcast may interfere with the debate, then these areas of the webcast will not be made available to the public. Members are reminded that the cameras are activated by the sound system and that they must switch on microphones when speaking and off when finished speaking. Before we start formal proceedings, I will ask the Reverend Ruth Halley to say a few words about the victims and their families of the London attack. And when she's finished saying her prayer, I will ask that we have hold a minute's silence for the victims and their families. Thank you.
Thank you, Provost. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. For hundreds of years, people of faith around the world have proclaimed these words in joyous defiance of all the world seeks to proclaim. When fear and mistrust try to overtake us, we are bold to proclaim, light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. When we are overwhelmed by powers we cannot control, we find comfort in these words, light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. As people of Midlothian, we offer witness to a hurting world and proclaim to all the nations of the world, light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And so we pause for a moment here in this council chamber, strengthened and empowered by the presence of God with us, to proclaim to a hurting world God's universal and unconditional love for all people, and we join our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. God of all hope and faithfulness, you are the God who blesses those in need, giving them the kingdom, who blesses those who go hungry, saying that they will be satisfied, that blesses those who weep, promising that there will be a new day. Empower us to show this truth by action as well as by word, to counter the lies of our time by stretching society's arms to include all your people. God of all time and place, you hear everyone who calls to you for healing. And so we remember today all who've been affected by the recent terror attack in London. We remember the victims of the attack and the families of those who lost their lives. We bring before you the injured, those who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, and we ask for your healing and hope. In the midst of our sorrow, we remember, too, the selfless courage and compassion shown by so many people on the day of the attack and since. The police and emergency services, politicians and journalists, ordinary people of different nationalities and ages. We remember their selfless action and see in it a reflection of Christ's love for all. Eternal God, sinners find mercy in you and saints find joy. You hold all souls in life. The dead and the living are in your care. We thank you for faithful and compassionate people of every age and place. Inspire us by their best example and bring us with them at the last to glory everlasting through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Could I ask those of you who can't stand, please stand for a minute's silence. Well, here we are at the end of this session of the Council after 5 years, and I would like to ask every one of the elected members to show respect for each other and for the officers in the chambers, as this is the last meeting. Thank you. Do we have any apologies for absence?
Thanks, Provost. No, there are no apologies today.
Order of business.
Thanks, Provost. The order of business is as per the agenda that's been circulated. I just draw members' attention to the fact that the Provost has agreed that the follow paper that was circulated yesterday afternoon to members in relation to item 9.1 will be accepted as an item of urgent business. Thank you.
Any declarations of interest can be declared at the time we're discussing any of the items on the agenda. Minutes of previous meetings. Note of the meeting of Midlothian Council of the 7th of February 2017. Can I have a proposer and a seconder for that minute, please? Councillor Constable, Councillor Beattie. Thank you. The addendum to the minute of meeting of Midlothian Council held on Tuesday, the 7th of February 2017.
Sorry. Are we dealing with the minutes of the council meeting, the last council meeting?
Minutes of the previous meetings?
Yeah. Could I just say something about it, Provost?
Yes. Thank you.
On page 9, 7.1, you kindly mentioned earlier that we should have respect for each other, for everyone here in the room. But unfortunately, when we discussed the motion that I put forward and that was seconded by Councillor Muirhead, you left the room, so you didn't, but you were unable to hear what we were saying. And I would just like to suggest that in this meeting at the Council, you really show no favour to anyone, and you are really impartial, because we are going to have two motions that will really have quite a lot of emotions in it. So I would just like to point that out. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor. The addendum to minute of meeting of Midlothian Council held on Tuesday, the 7th of February 2017. Can I propose and seconder, please? Councillor Johnson. Councillor Beattie, thank you. Note of special meeting of Midlothian Council of 28th of February 2017, and the addendum to the minute of special meeting of Midlothian Council held on Tuesday, 28th of February 2017. Can I have a proposer and seconder for these minutes, please? Councillor Beattie, thank you. Councillor Johnson, thank you. Item 5.2, submitted for approval as a correct record for standing order 7.9, Minute of Petitions Committee, 20th of December 2016. A proposer and seconder for Councillor Coventry, Councillor Baxter. Thank you.
Provost, just on the Petitions Committee minute, I'd like to move a further action point to it, and that is that we invite the officers of the Council, along with the three local elected members, to meet with Lothian Buses regarding the service in Auchendinny or the lack thereof. I just think that involving elected members sometimes makes that particular difference. And I say so on the basis that I know that Councillor Milligan and myself met with Lothian Buses on several occasions regarding the rescheduling of the 49 bus. And at long last, over many, many months, Lothian buses have put it back into the service that was there prior to that particular cut. So I do think it does make a difference, Provost, and I would just like the Council to agree that the transport officers get a hold of Lothian buses, arrange a meeting, and the three elected members be invited to attend that meeting to make these points to Lothian buses. I do believe that Auchendinny deserves a bus service. It's going to be a growing population, and if the Midlothian local plan goes through, another 300 houses are scheduled for that. So I do believe that there's a good case for us to have a bus service there prior to anything else being built out, on the basis that if we are trying to get people to use public transport, then we should at least have that public transport available. Thanks very much, Provost.
Thank you. Councillor Coventry.
Russell, I've already arranged to meet with John Blair on Friday to discuss this at 3:30. You're more than welcome to join us if you want, and I extend that invitation to Councillor Parry as well. With John Blair to discuss the fact that, you know, that the petition was passed to Lothian Buses with a recommendation that they look again at the service, taking into account the need to prevent social exclusion. That was one of the actions. And also the request Lothian Buses to provide information as to which routes in Midlothian they operate without profit as a social service, because they gave us a seminar in here, Lothian Buses, in which they made a big deal about that, you know. So we want to know what communities are being served in that way.
At the present moment, we're going through the minutes of the meetings as they took place.
Yeah. Provost, yes, that's correct. But any member out with a committee has the opportunity and the right, when it comes to full council, to actually add any action that it feels the petition committee hasn't taken. I'm not asking for anything controversial. All I'm asking for is that we meet with Lothian Buses. I'm quite happy to meet with the director any time, and I thank Councillor Coventry for that invitation. However, I'm actually talking about meeting with Lothian Buses so that elected members can put their point of view on behalf of constituents that are very concerned about the lack of a bus service through there. I don't think it's controversial. I think that's what Midlothian believe in doing, and that's what this council has supported over many years. So it's not a controversial issue. I wish it was, perhaps, before being the last council meeting, but I'm sure we might find one later on. But seriously, I think the council can agree that wholeheartedly, and we go forward and try and get that meeting arranged.
Councillor Beattie.
Thank you, Provost. I'm not a member of that committee, but I have to say I wholeheartedly support Councillor Russell's view that it can make a very big difference, as many councillors have found when they've met with organisations, in particular Lothian Buses, that the way in which local members of any ward about any particular service are in a position to bring particular attention to the situations and contexts in which the practices of that organisation, of Lothian Buses in particular, can actually be influenced and often bring new information into the discussion they might not otherwise have been aware of. So I actually do wholeheartedly support Councillor Russell's idea that it is a good idea for members of this council and any future councils to take a more, perhaps, assertive role with Lothian Buses. Thank you for that.
I'm sure that will be taken on board. Councillor Parry.
Thanks, Professor. I just wanted to come back to what Councillor Emery was actually asking for, which is a meeting with Lothian Buses with elected board members. I'm happy to second that as an action point. I don't think that's controversial at all, and I'd be happy to do that with Councillor Coventry as well.
Okay, thank you. Minute of the meeting of the Police and Fire Rescue Board, 21st of February 2017. Could we have a proposer and seconder for that meeting, please? Councillor Parry. And I will second. Councillor Baxter. Okay. Minutes of the meeting of Standards Committee of 15th October 2013. Is that correct? 2013. That's not a typo, no? Okay. Can I have a proposer and seconder for that then, please? Can anybody remember being there? Councillor Mulligan, thank you.
Provost.
Councillor Devink.
Would it be possible to get an explanation that this comes three and a half years late?
Mr. Clarke, would you please explain?
Thanks, Provost. The minute should have been taken to the meeting of the Standards Committee in December 2015. However, it was missed at that stage, and it's obviously important that we have a full record that has been approved, which is why it's coming forward to today. Thank you.
So, kind of a seconder for that minute. Is there a copy of this in their papers, yeah? 49, it was all there. But Councillors Bryant, Mulligan and Muirhead were... Councillor Muirhead, thank you. Item 5.3, submitted for noting consideration and recommendations of the meeting for the Cabinet of the 10th of January 2017. Planning Committee, 10th of January 2017. General Purposes Committee, 15th November 2016. The Appeals Committee, 1st of June 2016. Local Review Body, 24th of January 2017. Audit Committee, 13th of December 2016. Performance Review and Scrutiny Committee, 24th of January 2017. Special Performance Review and Scrutiny Committee, 21st of February 2017. Police and Fire and Rescue Board, 15th November 2016. Item 5.4, minutes of Midlothian Integrating Joint Board held on the 1st of December 2016. There are no questions to the Council Leader. Move to item 7.1. Notice of a motion moved by Councillor Montgomery and seconded by Councillor Bryant.
Thanks, Provost. I've got a few words to say about the Kevart Choir. I think most of us know who they are, and they've obviously been in existence for 50 years. They were founded by Alla Kelrick, who has an MBE, and it was founded by pupils and former pupils of Lasswade High School, and it took its name from the valley between Lasswade and Lowenhead. The membership is much wider now, with singers coming from all over Edinburgh and the Lothians. The choir rehearsals in Lasswade Centre, and in September 2013 inaugurated its performance hall with a concert as part of the Midfest programme. Most of the choir's concerts take place in central Scotland, often in response to requests from various churches and charities, and many thousands of pounds have been raised for charity over the years. The choir has also developed an international reputation with tours in Denmark, France and Germany, where it performed the two Berlin Tattoos in 1988 and 1992, the latter attended by the Queen. It's also performed in the Netherlands, Ireland, England, USA, Canada, Hungary and Spain. Other highlights include taking part in Live 8 at Murrayfield Stadium with Catherine Jenkins, performances before Six Nations rugby matches at Murrayfield and the Stade de France, singing in Notre Dame Cathedral, Paris and St Stephen's Basilica, Budapest, and taking part for many years in the Edinburgh Military Tattoo. The 50th anniversary concert takes place on the 13th of May in the Queen's Hall, Edinburgh. Some of us will be here, some of us won't, under the present conductor, Graham Lovett. Can I just thank Margaret Harkness from the education reps, the religious reps, for providing information for this. She is actually, I think you might need to declare an interest for this because you are a member of the Kevart Choir, but I think you could probably, I don't want you to report it to the Standards Commission for that one, you should be okay. But thanks for the information on that, Margaret. So, I don't think there's any controversy in this. So.
Councillor Bryant.
Thank you, Provost. I just want to say that I've received my invitation to go and hear the 50th anniversary concert at the Usher Hall. Thank you very much.
Councillor Beattie.
Thank you, Provost. I've had the great privilege of being at the Kevart Choir's various performances over a number of years, as I think have many of our colleagues. And it's such a privilege to have such a community-based choir in our wonderful county of Midlothian. I'm delighted to know that there are people in the chamber at the moment who are members of staff of Midlothian Council, officers of this council, who are also members of that choir. And it's just a lovely idea. And I thank Councillor Montgomery for bringing this forward. I think it's a lovely motion and one that gives us all great joy as we consider the wonderful work that they do and the wonderful music that they make. And I'm very grateful to them for the support they gave the very first, the inaugural Midfest. Thank you, Provost.
Yes, I have also attended quite a few of their concerts. Yes.
Thank you, Provost. Thank you very much indeed for your good wishes towards the Kevart Choir. I know that the choir has given a lot of pleasure both to audiences and to themselves over the years. And as Adam mentioned, our 50th anniversary concert is in the Queen's Hall on the 13th of May, And I just happen to have some ticket order forms with me if you would like to order some. We have a rehearsal this evening, and I'll convey to the choir your good wishes, and I know they'll be pleased to have the appreciation and the recognition of this council. Thank you.
I wish you well at your rehearsals tonight, and I hope we can get you away in plenty of time so you can be there. Item 7.2, notice of a motion moved by Councillor Bennett and seconded by Councillor Imrie.
Thanks, Chair. The motion is straightforward. The GMB trade union has been in touch through Derek from the Labour Group that Midlothian Council are not recognising that union. Now, he sent me through quite a lot of stuff, and it seems to be Marina Naylor who have sent them an email. I've been asked to formally write to the GMB to advise you that Midlothian Council will not be recognising the GMB. Now, since when did they represent Midlothian Council? This is the council here. This is who makes the decisions. Now, I understand there's a dispute, a trade union dispute, which is not to do with this council, not to do with us not recognising the GMB. It'll be dealt with through the SDUC with their own disputes committee. Mr Taylor has got members of the GMB here. He's threatened to ballot them for industrial action if the council didn't recognise the GMB. The GMB is recognised by every local authority in Scotland, probably in Britain, by the way, because it is a very big trade union. And they're signed up to COSLA, which we are also. So therefore, I'm not going to drag this out. I could just say one thing. I've not got a conflict of interest. I'm not a GMB member, but I'm a member in a trade union, fully paid up member of a trade union. And I would just hope the council support this and restore the recognition with the GMB.
Happy to second the motion, I think, because Councillor Bennett said it's pretty straightforward. As far as I was aware, if you have 40 members, you're quite entitled to approach the local authority or the employer, should I say, to ask to be recognised. They've been recognised up and down the country. As Councillor Bennett says, they're recognised by COSLA, and I just think it's inappropriate that for some reason we seem to have got ourselves caught up in a situation that's out with our place of work. And I just think we should be making sure today that the message is sent out to those appropriate officers within Midlothian. Get it signed up, get it out of the way, and let's get on and let people represent in the collective bargaining that goes on in Midlothian Council. We've never, as I can remember, ever had a problem in Midlothian as far as trade union membership concerned, and I really don't want to start on that journey today. So I second Councillor Bennett in the motion and hope that the Council will support the motion.
Councillor Johnson.
Thank you. In principle, I don't disagree that the GMB should be included. However, I do have a statement from Emma Phillips, the regional organiser from Unison, and Louise is going to pass that round. We already have three unions representing the workers or the employees in Midlothian Council, and I don't think another union would be helpful at this stage. But give everyone a few minutes to read the statement. Thank you. Emma Phillips sent this by email, so we don't have a formal signature, but it is sent by email, and the officers have got a copy of the formal email, the whole email, given the workplace address, etc. And as a result, I propose the direct negative.
Councillor Constable.
I wish to second.
Councillor Coventry.
Well, I too am a member of a trade union. In fact, I'm a member of Unison, and I was supported financially throughout university by a trade union scholarship. Now, I don't think this is a place where this should be settled and that people should be told that they can't be joining a union. So I will be supporting this motion.
Okay. Those in... Councillor Bennett. Could you put your microphone on, Councillor Bennett, please?
Sorry, but can I say, when this motion was put up to Council, I was also contacted by Unison by a telephone call for a full-time union official who was complaining about GMB poaching their members. The GMB isn't poaching their members. The membership are disillusioned with the representation that they've been getting, and they've applied to join the GMB. And I told them straight on the phone that I will be moving the motion, and I hope it's supported here, because this isn't an issue for this council. We should recognise any trade union that represents the workforce in Midlothian Council, any trade union, and for it to take sides in this, which is probably a trade union dispute that will be judged by the STUC and maybe have to go to the TUC, because it's happened over the years, many, many times. I would urge that everybody that you support this motion and recognise the GMB, or I don't know what will happen after that, because I know what I would do. I certainly would go to the members I've got and ballot them and shut down Stop Hill, because that's what they're threatening to do.
Councillor Baxter.
Thank you, Provost. I do agree with much of what Councillor Bennett's just said. I would have concerns if we are seen to be locking out certain unions. And I think it's more democratic, if you like, to allow people the flexibility and the freedom to join whichever trade unions they want. And if the argument is there aren't many GMB members, then that could be a reason, the fact that they're not recognised. And I will be supporting this motion because I think it allows greater flexibility for our workforce.
Councillor De Vink.
I thought that the closed shop had come to an end quite a long time ago, and receiving this letter from Unison actually quite riles me, because how are they able to tell us who we should recognise? It really is not correct. So I will be supporting the motion.
Okay. Those in favour of the motion, please show. Those in favour of the direct negative, please show.
6.
The motion is carried. Item 7.3, notice of motion moved by Councillor De Vink and seconded by Councillor Milligan.
Right. Well, we are all aware that the Scottish Government were telling Midlothian Council that we had to put up our council tax. This was totally against all the policies of local government and local democracy. And we then had quite a battle on our hands. And in the end of the day, they did a U-turn, but we are still very much worse off. More importantly, I have seen that several councils in the past have told their customers that this instruction of increasing the bands from E to H came directly from the Scottish Government, and we move that this council, with immediate effect, also will tell all our customers that these swingent increases are not the work of this council, but the work of the Scottish Government.
Councillor Milligan.
Thanks, Provost. Provost, I'm happy to support and second this motion. I think it's utterly important here that we get out to the public there and tell them just exactly what's going on, because this was an attack on democracy. And whether we like it or no, it's just funny that the cuts that we got right after them changing their mind were a lot deeper and harder than what we had expected. As the motion says, we've now got thousands of taxpayers paying more money, and some of them in Barnes ETH paying considerable more money, and people asking why we're raising charges, for example, for leisure centres, other people asking why we're not providing other services. And the reality here is, even with these large increases, this council faces an absolute nightmare over the next 5 years. The council's going to be left with an outgoing administration that's got a £4 million deficit. It's got no reserves or very little reserves in comparison to what it took over. We'll have a car crash, and that's the only thing I can call it, a car crash, a budget finality that this administration is leaving. Therefore, it's really important that the public out there understand, really important that they understand, that this council, even with the rises, over the next 4 years is going to have to find millions and millions of pounds in cuts to public services, because we're going to have less money even with a result of this. So it's important we get the message across to every single person that this council has a hard job over the next 4 to 5 years.
Councillor Parry.
Thanks, Provost. I have to say I'm quite speechless at this motion, which is perhaps a first. But the first issue here is obviously the cost, a cost of about £20,000 to write to all residents, despite this change only affecting 25% of residents. Let's be clear, that's exactly what the motion says. So essentially what you're going to do is you're going to take £20,000 of council tax money, which includes those on bands A and B, and you're going to take their money to write to everybody to tell them that some of them are going to have to pay extra and some of them won't, those that are living in the most expensive properties. So added to the fact that this motion is clearly politically motivated, I think Councillor Devinck mentioned it himself, that a number of councils have indeed written out similar motions, but they've done it in February. So you could have put the letter in with the same envelope and it wouldn't have made any difference in terms of what you're charging to Midlothian residents. £20,000 is a lot of money, and I think that asking those that have the broadest shoulders to pay a wee bit more is fair. An extra £4 a week is what we're talking about for Band E, and we're talking about £11 a week on properties that have a value of over £320,000. All this motion does is take £20,000 of money to tell people they're paying more, people who already know they're paying more because they got their letter in February. And we also want to write to people who aren't paying more to tell them that those with higher property values are paying more. It just doesn't make sense. I think this motion sails very close to the wind of utter incompetence, to be quite frank. And I'm genuinely, and I mean this, I'm genuinely surprised to see Councillor Milligan's name appear on this motion, essentially supporting Tory party policy, because I'll remind you all that Labour MSPs voted for the multipliers and the bans, and I can only assume that this is in some way to line up what happens after May. And if this is the kind of Labour-Tory coalition that we're going to see, then I don't think I'll be the only one that will be really disappointed in the standard. So I would like to make a compromise, if I might, Provost, and I understand the point that Councillor Milligan made about communication. And if that is so important, but the budget is so important, then can we agree a compromise? And that is to put this information on the website rather than write to all residents at a cost of £20,000.
Councillor Constable.
Thank you, Provost. I just heard the sum £20,000. That £20,000 has been mentioned in what it would cost to put up the Bonnery Christmas lights. I've contributed out of my environmental funds quite substantially to these over, and there's been some rumour circulating in Bonnery that they won't go up again. I'd be very upset if that money got wasted. But there's £20,000 going to be wasted on postage. That money could, of course, put up the Christmas lights.
Councillor Milligan.
Yeah, you have already cut the Christmas fund and we established that at the last meeting. You maybe still didn't care what you're doing, but let's be quite frank, that's already been established by the answer for the heady revenues there, that you've cut that funding. It's like everything in here, Kelly, you've got a real cheek talking about us lining ourselves up with a Tory. Could I just have a look at the gentleman there? That gentleman there is the man that you've been in power with for the last 4.5 years. You only ditched him because he became a public liability as you went into the next election, because you didn't want to be seen being aligned with Conservative. You've got a real hard neck trying to align us with the Conservatives. I'm quite surprised, actually, that I've ever seen myself signing a motion with a right-wing Conservative member. I really am. I'll tell you what I mean when we're surprised at, that right-wing Tories voting for GMB recognition in the SNP group, aren't they? There you go. That's something I'm really surprised at. Yeah. That's something I'm really surprised at. This is factual. I happen to know that there's a gentleman out there that I was dealing with the other week who's actually written to every single person in Midlothian and does so in considerable style, and a lot bigger, an envelope and a lot bigger packages than what these are, at under £4,000. So I don't care where this £20,000 comes from. I think we'll need to get the chief auditor to have a look at why we're spending £20,000 in writing out. If I know an individual that can do it for 25% of that cost. The reality here is, there's no an argument here on whether or not the council tax goes up. Indeed, we've argued for many years council tax should have been going up year after year to start paying for vital services that the public want. Our hands were tied behind our back. We didn't have an issue with the amount of rises, and dare say, had Labour been charged, we might have actually had even bigger rises. It's the actual fact that these rises have been taken as a direct result and interference with the Scottish Government, and something that should be left to councils. Absolutely, council tax has always been the way that council taxpayers and the council could decide what their priorities were. So I didn't have a problem with that. The reality here is what we're wanting to make sure is that the public are aware that the incoming council are going to have horrendous decisions to make as a direct result of the mess yous have made in the economy of this council.
Councillor Baxter.
Thank you, Provost. I'd like to ask a question of our officials. I'm querying the first sentence of the third paragraph, which says, Scottish Government grants to Midlothian Council were subsequently cut by a figure beyond what had been expected. Now, since the new charges to the bans were announced, and at that time most of that was going to be removed from Midlothian Council's budget, I understand that £1.7 million was then reinstated, and then the agreement between the Greens and the SNP meant there was an extra £2.1 million in revenue funding coming to Midlothian Council. So by my reckoning, that's £3.8 million. I'm just wondering how we... I'm genuinely asking this because I'm maybe missing something. How the grants were subsequently cut by a figure beyond what was expected. What was expected and what are we now getting? My second question is, following on from what Councillor Parry said before, that I agree in principle we should let our customers know what's going on. It doesn't seem to make sense to me to write to three quarters of households to say the other quarter are going to be charged more. Is it technically feasible for us just to write to those 25% of households who are affected?
Could you answer the Councillor's questions on funding?
Thanks, Provost. The financial strategy report presented to Council on the 7th of February set out the movements that had happened on the grant funding, the latest part of which was the Stage 1 debate in Parliament, where the Finance Secretary introduced an additional £160 million. I suppose the question in the motion was subsequently cut. I suppose it depends where you start. Our original budget projections assumed a £1 million grant reduction. The final position in the core grant was approximately £2 million. So overall, the grant reduction in core grant, and I would stress that core grant, was more than earlier budget reports. However, members will be well aware of the discussions that have taken place nationally in the debate around the measurement of the local government settlement, including the extra income that comes from council tax. I stress to members that was all set out in the 7th of February report. Sorry, in terms of postage, I don't know if colleagues might be better placed.
Mr Blair.
Yes, in terms of two emerging issues from the council, the figure in the region of £20,000 is based on using the Royal Mail, as the motion says, to write with immediate effect. It is possible to use alternative delivery providers as suggested by Councillor Mulligan. However, there is a lead-in time, and the motion is to write with immediate effect. In response to Councillor Baxter's inquiry about segmenting the top 20%, yes, sorry, the 25% in bands E through to H, yes, that is possible.
Councillor De Wink.
The Scottish Government cut all local councils by £360 million. This was in spite of the Westminster Government giving the Scottish Government 1.5% more than in the previous years. It was quite a shock to a lot of councils, and as a result, they needed to get the budget through, so they teamed up with the Greens, who luckily demanded a £160 million cut in the 360. So we have still been cut by £200 million. That is all the councils in Scotland. So where we get all these different figures from, I am sending my end-of-term report that I will talk about later, and it cost me £2,100 to go to 40,000 households in Midlothian.
Councillor Baxter.
Thank you, Provost. I'd like to thank Gary Fairley and John Blair for their answers, and in the light of John's last answer, I would like to ask the proposer and seconder for a slight amendment to say that we only write to those households affected. If that were the case, I think I would support this motion.
Councillor Coventry.
Yeah, I mean, I worked for Royal Mail for over 20 years, and what are known as bulk postings. I'd be absolutely flabbergasted if it cost the council £20,000 to write to all the households in Midlothian. I don't know what the answer is, but I'd be flabbergasted if that was the case. I'm going to support this motion because it's not about cuts. It's not about opposing the rises, and it's not politically motivated. You know what it's about? It's about being open and honest with the public so that they're fully aware about what the situation is and why they're being asked to pay the rises that are coming through to them. So I'll be supporting the motion.
Councillor Parry, would you care to sum up?
Sorry, it's my motion. I should sum up.
Parry, because she moved that we moved right to the web, won't put on the web only. I was asking if she wanted to sum up on it. If she's waving her right to sum up, then that's fine. I was going to call you next to sum up on behalf of the motion.
Provost, I'm formally second Councillor Parry's motion.
Thank you. Councillor Baxter, let in one more time.
Sorry. Can I propose that we make an amendment to the motion which states that we only write to those affected?
No, I think an amendment should have been in a while ago for that. I mean, but I think we're going to get some instructions from Mr. Turpey.
I think, Chair, first of all, we haven't had an answer from the mover and seconder of the motion to Councillor Baxter's initial question, which was whether they would be prepared to amend their motion in terms of his proposal. Perhaps we can just clarify that first of all.
Mayor?
Are you happy to accept Councillor Baxter's amendment
no.
to put it on the web?
Certainly. No, it's not. Sorry. My amendment is to only write to those 25% affected rather than to every
household. Sorry, I confused myself here. Councillor Milligan, do you accept?
Given the fact that everybody in Midlothian is very much aware that these council tax increases were put in place, everybody has a right to understand that that money is no here and that this council is still faced with having to make drastic cuts to its services. And that's what part of this motion says here. It actually tells people, because not just the people who are paying the extra money are asking the question. You've been to the same community council meetings as I, you're on the same streets as I. It's people that are asking questions about why you're having to put up leisure charges and that. And people are saying, you're getting all this extra money for the government, you're getting to keep it. Well, aren't they? The reality here is we have to let folk know, because we have an administration coming in after this election that's going to have one of the hardest jobs that a council have ever had to get, and that's to try and balance the books that we've been left with.
Mr. Turpey.
Thank you, Chair. Given that the mover and seconder don't wish to amend their motion, Councillor Baxter, do you wish to formally move an amendment in those terms? And if so, do you have a seconder?
Yes, and I don't know.
Can I have a seconder for Councillor Baxter's amendment to the motion? The amendment falls. Councillor Devink, would you care to sum up for the motion, please?
Thank you, Provost. Well, it's very straightforward. I'm delighted that I am able to move this motion because all our customers will be in full knowledge of the facts and that it is not this council that put up the council tax in such a stringent way, whatever Councillor Perry is telling me, only £11 a week, they should know. And it is not correct for the Scottish Government under any circumstance to tell Midlothian Council what to do with the corporation with the council tax. Thank you.
Okay, move to the vote. Those in favour of posting it only on the web, please show.
Six.
Those in favour of the motion, please show.
Eleven.
Thank you. The motion is passed. Item 7.4, a notice of motion to be moved by Councillor Parry and seconded by Councillor Baxter.
Thanks, Provost. I wanted to put forward this motion in the run-up to election because it's very important to me to make sure that not only is this council chamber made up of a diverse group of representatives, but that the council sets an environment that ordinary folk, whatever their background, gender or ethnicity, can participate in what we do, and it's clear that we're failing. There are some parts of this council that are still backward thinking in its attitudes to women councillors. There's still some of those opinions sitting in this chamber today, sadly. It's clear that we have much work to do. And politicians of political parties and of none have a responsibility to set the tone of the debate. At Christmas last year, my 12-year-old son asked me why someone on Facebook wanted to put a noose around my neck. I've received sexist abuse online, I've been patronised more times than I care to remember, and I know that I'm not alone. The Parliament Project, a non-party affiliated organisation that supports women to stand for elected positions, has found that it's this particular type of politics that puts women off from standing and is a barrier. In the run-up to the election, I pledge personally that I'll continue to be supportive to all women candidates and candidates, regardless of the colour of the rosette, and I will not be a bystander to sexist or personal comments online, in person, in this chamber or anywhere else. Politicians on all sides have a deep responsibility for their language and their actions, particularly following last week's tragic events in London that we referenced at the beginning of this meeting. I'm delighted that both the SNP and the Greens have put forward gender-balanced candidates across Midlothian, and whilst other parties don't have that same record, I think that the sentiment of this motion would be a good start in ensuring that we pave the way for more women councillors, and I urge all councillors and candidates and political parties to agree.
Councillor Baxter.
Thank you, Provost. Yes, I concur with that. It's sad that it's only at certain tragic circumstances, like the murder of Joe Cox and the incidents in Westminster last week, that politicians of all sides take a step back and realise that, you know, this is a life and death matter very often, you know, what people, debates people get into, particularly in social media. And I think that we should all reflect on the fact that politics is, for many of us, it's an interest, it's a career, but it's not so serious that we should really be getting into some of the abuse that we've all witnessed, I think. You know, we all get a bit of criticism. I don't mind being called a yuppie once in a while, but no, that's not all I get called, Margot. But turnout's falling. As Kelly says, we really need to encourage more people, particularly women, to get involved in politics. And I think that some of the abuse I've seen certainly would put a lot of people off. So what I would ask as well is, as well as what's stated in the motion, to ask everyone involved in politics that if they do see abuse of opponents, then have a quiet word with some people, because it comes from all sides. People can get hot-headed at times and say things and write things that they later regret. And I think if we all play the game fairly, I think we'll all benefit. People, the turnout will increase, people will get involved in politics, and all of us involved both within political parties or as independents, we will all benefit from that. So I'm happy to second this motion.
Thank you. Councillor Young.
Thank you, Provost. One of the things that I've enjoyed the most in my role as a councillor has been working with people from different political parties in a way that, quite honestly, I hadn't before. And I do value a positive tone in our debate, which this motion speaks to. And I particularly endorse Councillor Parry's comments in regards to standing against sexism. But I must say, in my experience, the big problem in Scottish politics isn't how we speak to each other, or even someone who is a by-election candidate, how candidates speak to each other. The problem in Scottish politics just now is the abusive tone of our never-ending discussion about splitting up a United Kingdom, and how vitriolic many nationalist supporters in particular become when the subject turns to independence. I've been involved in countless election campaigns and only one once-in-a-generation independence referendum so far. Never in my life have I heard as much abuse, anti-English bigotry, threats as in summer 2014. And I think that horrible tone is one reason why so many Scottish people legitimately fear and oppose going back to another referendum. If we are serious about solving the negative tone in Scottish politics, I would invite the nationalist parties in this chamber to address the behaviour of their own supporters, which would go a long way to removing the barriers to participation in Scotland's broken politics. Thank you, Provost.
Councillor De Brink.
Well, when I read this motion, I was immediately reminded of Councillor Parry rather snappily telling me during the last council meeting of the 7th of February that I got it wrong. As we were discussing an accounting matter, and I had studied the subject at Edinburgh University, becoming a financial analyst and then using my accounting knowledge all my professional life, I decided to ignore her opinion. However, I wouldn't have raised it just now if suddenly Councillor Parry added at that last council meeting that I so often got it wrong in the coalition. That, I thought, was a very gratuitous remark that offended me greatly, and I decided that I then would write my end-of-term report explaining to all the customers in Midlothian what really went on in the coalition. It will see the light of day next week, and reading it, one will realise what went on is not what is at all like in Councillor Parry's motion today. In the last few weeks, I have seen the totally uncalled-for attacks on Peter Smale by Colin Beattie, MSP. I also read in last week's Advertiser the equally uncalled-for comment by the leader of the council about Councillor Bryant not living up to the required standard expected from him. Is that all in the spirit of Councillor Parry's motion, or is the leader referring to Councillor Parry's own statement, standard? However, the remark that most irritated me was that I read in the Daily Record that Councillor Parry had stated that she was surprised that the Conservatives did not do their due diligence on a candidate that had made a very unfortunate entry on his Facebook some 4 years ago. This, together with her motion today, makes me ask why the SNP did not do due diligence on her. Today, because of what happened when she was elected a councillor, this council now undertakes a check on the people that they are contemplating offering a job to. Should the Council find that the candidate is a bad debt to the Council, he or she would not be offered the position unless the debt is cleared or a repayment schedule is agreed. Excellent due diligence that no doubt every party should undertake when putting forward candidates themselves. But more interesting, a very smart colleague of mine did some due diligence on Councillor Perry.
Can I remind you, Councillor,
also,
to be careful of your language, please.
Yeah.
Be careful how you word things.
I'm very
We're also
careful.
In Purna.
Could you let
and
me
I'll
finish?
Let you I'll let you finish when you correct, make sure you say things correctly.
Subsequently, a very smart colleague of mine undertook some due diligence on Councillor Perry, who also 4 years ago filmed the then Cabinet Secretary for Education, who was ambushed on the campus he was visiting by the then Miss Perry, together with two student activists. At the end of the proceedings, which were filmed by Miss Perry, she turned the camera on herself and snarled, "Mike Russell is a liar." Not having had sufficient satisfaction, she was then quoted in her favourite organ, the Daily Record, as having no regrets, calling the Cabinet Secretary a liar. Here she is asking for us to avoid personal attacks. What was she doing to George McIntyre, Mike Russell, Robin Traquair, myself and many others? Can I just say that Councillor Perry was so incorrect making her recent comments in the Daily Record in view of her own questionable record, and I would strongly recommend to members not to support a motion from a person who lays down the law for others but clearly considers that she can live with another law for herself. And could I just add that I am mystified that Councillor Baxter has done so little of his homework when he decided to second this motion from such an unprincipled fellow councillor who lives in a glass house and has decided to start throwing stones. Thank you, Provost.
Councillor Baxter.
Thank you, Provost. Just for clarity, I wrote the second paragraph of that motion.
Sorry, could you repeat? I missed it because.
Sorry, just to clarify, I wrote the second paragraph of that the motion. I didn't just add my signature at the bottom, as Councillor De Vink suggested.
Thank you, Councillor Coventry.
Right, thanks, Provost. Right. I need to challenge what Councillor Young has said. You know about the referendum in 2014 in September. I think that overall was conducted in a really civilised manner. The only uncivilised part that I personally witnessed from that campaign was on, I think it was September the 19th, on the Friday night, when George Square in Glasgow was taken over by a bunch of what were basically fascist thugs waving Union Jacks and doing, you know, fascist salutes. So we shouldn't start just throwing stones at the Yes campaign, because I think personally that people on the Yes side conducted themselves admirably throughout that campaign.
Councillor Mulligan.
Yeah, Provost. I've got to say that I find this quite gimmicky, because there's nothing here I've heard today that would indicate that any candidates have been anything other than pleasant and cooperative and meets. And indeed, even I recall at the last meeting, I can't quite mind which one it was, one of Bob's family were standing at Lastwood High School when somebody approached them in a very vicious manner, and it was a Labour candidate that stood in between the two of them and pushed that person away and actually told them that they didn't want nothing to do with them or their vote, if that was the way they were going to behave. All Labour candidates will act in that spirit. We didn't need to sign up, so we're just going to move no motion, no action on this motion. Labour candidates will stick to the base a camaraderie and indeed pleasant, nice atmosphere, and will certainly not be launching personal attacks and going on and to anybody, that quite interestingly, that the statement, Kelly, that you talked about with the noose around your neck, I think it was actually aimed at the three Bonnerhead councillors rather than anybody else. And quite interestingly, I think it's one of the colleagues, the councillor Baxter, who made it. It wasn't a politician, it wasn't a candidate, and it certainly wasn't a councillor. It was a member of the community council, if I mind, right, that made that unfortunate statement on Facebook. It was certainly nothing to do with us. But I'm glad that you want to raise that, because it then brings back to the contemplation as to the fact that what we did have was an unprovoked attack on a community group by Councillor Baxter and his members. And indeed, Kelly, you'll be very much aware, one of them pasted and put onto a green Facebook page actually attacking the female chair of the events committee because they were running a campaign to save the Christmas lights. Myself and you discussed that. Now, that was quite frankly in a conversation that Councillor Baxter was having, and it wasn't removed until members of the public were made aware of it. And it was a direct and personal attack on that person. And only because she's a Labour candidate. And these things have to stop. They've got no place in politics whatsoever, and I agree with that. But I'm sorry, I think the reality here is the ship sailed on this one, because there's no word on honesty, there's no word on any sort of basic honesty in this, because we will be campaigning. We'll be campaigning particularly on your record. And we have to be able and free to say that we think you've got stuff wrong. We think you've absolutely no correct. And certainly, when you put out leaflets like you've put out that claim a lot of the achievements that were delivered under Labour and try and head them up as under your reign, we're certainly going to expose you for it.
I'll have Councillor Constable, then I'll ask Councillor Parry to sum up.
Yes, just to confirm what Councillor Milligan has been saying, my daughter was campaigning outside the Last Wade Centre, and a gentleman in a blue rosette, presumably representing the Tory party, was extremely rude and unpleasant. The Labour candidate, she stepped in as well to say that this behaviour was unacceptable, just to confirm. And I've always found in the 10 years, which concludes my 10 years in Midlothian politics, which is virtually coming to conclusion today, we've always had very good behaviour outside all our polling stations, and I've had very good discussions with other members of the other parties. And, in fact, it can quite relieve the tedium sometimes of standing outside a polling station, which is a bit quiet. And I'd like to see that spirit of mutual respect to continue.
Before I move to the summing up, could I have a seconder for Councillor Milligan's no action motion? Could I have a seconder for Councillor Milligan? Okay, Councillor Muirhead. Councillor, care to sum up for your motion, please.
Thanks, Provost. The first thing I'm going to say is that I am frankly embarrassed to sit in this chamber and be patronised and lectured to by Councillor De Vink, and I will not be bullied by Councillor De Vink. I want to make that quite clear. The second point is I actually agree with Councillor Young. I think there is badness out there on Twitter and social media from both sides, and I think that we've both got a responsibility to speak to people in our campaigns and our parties to make sure that doesn't happen, and I think we should call it out wherever we see it. And just to pick up on Derek's point as well, I'm sorry that this motion wasn't as strong as perhaps you would like it to have been, but I did come and speak to you about it 2 weeks before I had submitted it, and I think maybe after the election that's something that we can do better. And I do appreciate the relationship that we do have between candidates, particularly your own candidates, who I've spent a fair bit of time speaking with as well, and I'll continue to do so. So I'm disappointed that it doesn't get more support, but I'm happy that we kind of somewhere along the line have agreed on the sentiment.
Okay. Councillor Baxter?
Yeah, thank you, Provost. Yeah, just to touch on that point that Councillor Young made before. That was the reason why I asked to include respective parties will campaign on local issues relevant to the people of Midlothian, because I'd really like to stress that. But the motion itself, I think, is fairly non-contentious. If you don't agree with it, people will ask why, because irrespective of how you view what's happened in the past, this is a clean sheet, and we're saying, really, let's start from a position where we all agree to the words here. If you don't support it, then that implies, I'm afraid, that you don't agree with the words that are written down.
OK. Those in favour of the motion, please show.
7.
Those against the motion, please show.
Eleven.
Item 7.5, notice of motion moved by Councillor Beattie and seconded by Councillor Parry.
Thank you, Provost. I'm very grateful to Council for this opportunity to bring this motion for your consideration. It's a particularly sensitive subject for me personally, following the courageous work of Margo MacDonald, MSP, and all the work she did for many years to try and protect very vulnerable women. The motion... I'm sorry, Provost, I seem to be disturbing people on the
bench. Could I ask all the members to, if they want to have private conversations, please leave the chambers to have them. Thank you.
Provost, thank you for that. It largely references the issue of the vulnerability of women who are engaged in prostitution. But in fact, as we well know, there are sometimes young boys and young men also engaged in this dreadful trade, human trade. It is something that is sometimes called the sex industry or the sex worker industry. And I've spoken to many prostitutes over a number of years. I had the privilege of working with Margaret MacDonald for some time on this. And they all tell me that they don't want to be described as sex workers. They say that to do so is to legitimise and give credibility to the idea that this is a proper job and a proper industry, when in fact the only people for whom it's a job are those who are exploiting and trafficking the people who are in prostitution. Many of them enslaved, literally, locked up in rooms for years at a time, moved around by minibus and car in such a way that they have no opportunity if they seek to escape, isolated from family and friends, often taken at an age where they know no better. Many of them would tell me they were 14 and it was their older boyfriend who took them away for the weekend and they never saw their family or friends again for years. Many of them enslaved under the influence of addictive substances like crack cocaine, and some of them, a small number, get out and are able to tell us their stories and enable us to be able to campaign effectively. And this motion refers to some of the really excellent legislation that has gone through in some countries, which have seen that only the people who are the pimps, only the people who are the sex traffickers, only the people who are the human traffickers being prosecuted effectively, but the people who are enslaved into this awful business are actually given the protection of law by not being made criminals, by being enslaved and abducted often into this business. I really hope that you will join with me in recognising how important that this motion is, because I think all of us as elected members at this moment, and many who will follow, many of you will return to this chamber, I will not. And it seems to me very important to seize this opportunity to recognise that where legislation has been passed in some countries like New Zealand, which has just legalised sex workers, legalised the whole thing as if it's an industry, have seen a very significant, a 40% increase in human trafficking. In Auckland alone, the numbers were staggering. The number of people who were without any protection at all as a consequence because of legalisation. I believe Germany are currently reviewing their model of legislation and it is being widely discussed there. I know that there are many such areas of the world where such legalisation has been tried and found to be very wanting and has been counterintuitive to its inception and conception and intention. With that in mind, I'm sure, Council, many of you are aware of the horrible damage that is done to human life, the destruction of so many, where people take their own lives, where people are left, even years after escaping from their abductors, are left using boiling water and Dettol to try and scrub away their sense of trauma and what's happened to their bodies over which they were not allowed any control. Please, colleagues, Provost, through you, can I ask colleagues, please support this motion. It is incredibly important. And if we have respect for fellow beings, we cannot do otherwise. Thank you for listening.
Councillor Parry.
Thanks, Provost. I'm happy to second this motion, and I think Councillor Beattie has went into some really emotive detail there as to exactly why we should do that. I won't do that any further, but I just wanted to mention briefly the work of the social justice team in the Council and highlight the good practice and links with organisations that already exist to help keep Midlothian women safe, particularly Safer Communities Partnership Board, where this topic has come up already, and I'm sure this motion will strengthen the work that is already happening there. I don't wish to amend the motion, but I think it would be helpful as an action point if the Council agrees the motion to also write to the Board and advise them of our political position so that they have the confidence that the Council and councillors agrees and support with their approach.
Councillor Baxter.
Thank you, Provost. I'm afraid I can't support this motion. It goes completely against my own party's policy, which is to advocate for the decriminalisation of sex work so sex workers can enjoy legal protection from exploitation, trafficking and violence and access to better support and healthcare. I'm afraid that the evidence doesn't suggest that the SNP's policy will eliminate violence against sex workers. Research into anti-client laws around Vancouver's street-based sex work found that, and I quote, without the opportunity to screen clients or safely negotiate the terms of sexual services, sex workers faced increased risks of violence, abuse and HIV. The Norwegian government writes about its own law and says women in the street market report as having a weaker bargaining position and more safety concerns now than before the law was introduced. Because with fewer clients, sex workers feel unable to turn away clients who may be aggressive. Amnesty International actually concurs with this. They criticise the Nordic model in preference to decriminalising consensual sex work. According to Amnesty, under Norway's sex laws, sex workers are at a risk of forced evictions as their landlords can be prosecuted for renting property to them if they sell sex there. So I'm afraid that I see this motion as flawed, and I think I'll be opposing it.
Councillor Muirhead.
Sorry, Provost, just a minor correction, I think, if you accept it. And the first word in the fifth line should be Midlothian Council rather than conference. Yep.
A typo. Anybody else? Councillor Beattie, would you care to sum up? Councillor Coventry, then.
I just wanted to second what Councillor Baxter said. I mean, I think prostitution and human trafficking is a vile activity and with victims. My problem with this motion is it's really paternalistic. It seems to assume that every woman or man who involved in the sex industry has been forced into that. Now, I don't know if that's the case. I think that people involved in prostitution, it should be legalised in order that these individuals can organise properly and have the legal rights that they require. And I can't support this motion because of that. Because the second part of it, where it mentions criminalises the purchase of sex, again, we could have a situation where consenting adults are being given a criminal record for having sex. Consenting adults. And the key word is consent. And as long as no one has been forced into it, then, you know, that's the important point. And the way you stop people being forced into it is to allow people involved in that type of work to organise properly. So I'll second Councillor Baxter.
Councillor Baxter.
Sorry, thanks, Provost. Just to come in again. When sex workers are actually asked what they would prefer the model which I suggested. At the moment, it's the case that two women cannot be in the same room offering services because it's considered to be sex work, whereas an individual can. So they don't have the protection of numbers. There are so many different flaws with continuing with the Nordic model that I really feel that that's not the way to go.
Councillor Johnson.
I wholeheartedly support Lisa and Kelly in this motion, and I think that legalising prostitution will not reduce the people who sell or buy sex. Surveillance the sex workers means that those buying the sex will invite workers to their own territory and therefore put the prostitute in even more danger. And that goes for male prostitutes and female prostitutes. I absolutely agree with Kelly and Lisa, and I really support this motion.
Councillor Beattie, could you sum up, please?
Thank you, Provost.
Sorry, Chair, I just want to clarify, I think, two issues. The first is Councillor Parry suggested writing in support of the motion as well. If that's, I'm just wondering if that's going to be formally adopted into the motion, Councillor Beattie. And second matter was whether Councillor Baxter is formally moving an amendment to take no action. And that's then second under committee. Thank you.
Councillor Beattie, could you please sum up now, please? Thank you.
Thank you, Provost. I can't tell you how disappointed I am to hear men talking about child prostitution and women as if this issue is not of such significant importance. And I do appreciate that there are no Thank you, Provost. I do appreciate that this is a very thorny issue. It's a very difficult issue. And there are probably, at this moment in time, no perfect ways of protecting people from prostitution. And as it turns out, there are issues around the whole idea of calling the sex workers. And I noticed Councillor Baxter particularly used the expression sex workers. And I'm well aware of the amount of money that is sloshing around from lobbyists or with lobbyists going about determined to ensure that the legalisation model is the one that is adopted in our country. If anyone who has not actually spoken to prostitutes, or more importantly, listened to them at some length, might struggle to understand why this motion is framed as it is. Those of us who have spent time and have listened to those women, and let's not get confused, this isn't about sex, this is about rape. It's about brutal assault on people's bodies, be they children, be they adult male or adult female. It is the most appalling form of violence that can be imposed on another. And to suggest that we should just legalise it is morally challenging, to understate the case, and breathtaking in its ignorance and arrogance. I'm not suggesting for a moment there is, at this moment in time, a perfect model. It's going to take a long time while we educate our children, particularly our male children, that to go to a brothel or to engage a prostitute is to be complicit with illegal trafficking, with violence, with organised crime, and with all kinds of the most repugnant activities of human nature. They are so deeply offensive that they still exist in the way they do in our society and that we allow it. I can't tell you how disappointed I am to hear the responses from two male colleagues. This is not pretty, woman. Please, let's take the first steps and support this. We can have further arguments later in different places about the detail of it. Much more can be done. And with the support of the directors of this council, who I know have already engaged in many meaningful ways with different organisations to explore this as to how we might do things better, please give the people some protection. We are not arguing about women who are choosing to be prostitutes, although I think to suggest that women choose to be prostitutes is in itself a rather odd statement. Only women in the most dire poverty do that, and they are a tiny, tiny minority who make that choice. We are not suggesting for a moment in this proposition that
we are going to criminalise them in any way or prevent them if that's what they choose. Let's take away the need for that choice. Let's work towards that. But most importantly, let's give these people some protection. I beg you, support the motion. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to let Councillor Baxter in. He'll be the final speaker on this, and we're moving to the vote.
Thank you, Provost. Yes, just to say that this is not a view spouted by men. It was my party's policy was drawn up after detailed consultation with people in the sex industry, largely women, and it's fully supported by Amnesty International.
Okay, Councillor Baxter, I move that we take no action on this motion. Those in favour, please show.
Four.
Okay, those in favour of the motion, please show.
Fourteen.
The motion is carried overwhelmingly. I now intend to call a 10-minute recess for to give people a bit of a breather after these.
Provost, could I just thank colleagues for the cross-party support on such a very important idea? Thank you.